Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
You say you stand by your man. Tell me something I don't understand.
We're back at the races, back to Treasure Island here at the NHC and the National Horse Players Championship. The handicapping portion came when DRF, last year after DRF was out as one of the major co-sponsors. We switched over to Horse Players. So National Horse Players Championship. It took me a good year to stop saying National Handicapping Championship after years and years. Tony Black is standing by in Philly, and I know Tony was listening because I heard from him. And Tommy Massis is here in person. I mentioned Tommy had come and cycled in. Tommy?
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, everyone in Vegas.
Yeah, and all over the place, over back home in Toronto. And, I'm glad I saw you, and we want to talk with you. Let me get Tony, let me get his greeting in. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve, and what a great show. Boy, and is racing so lucky to have someone like Pat Cummings in there trying to promote it and coming up with innovative and creative ideas to move racing forward. Glad that you had him on. He was so informative.
Now, he and Craig Burnick and the people they put on the board to bounce these ideas around and float them and get the conversation going trying to positively impact the industry. Not easy. No, it won't come automatically. But you got to start somewhere. And certainly to their credit these discussions are being had, and at the very least, even if the accomplishments are very small and incremental, they're educating the players, and it's helping it's helping people that are involved in the sport that don't know the backstories to these areas and really areas of challenge and difficulty. If it helps educate people, that's an accomplishment in of itself.
Yeah, agree, yeah, disagree. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. We're playing catch-up now. And, only because there wasn't people in the early stages of the developing of the casinos and the lotteries and the different other forms of gambling that were developing. And some of them even rode in on the backs of the horses in New Jersey. We had horse racing, and the casinos rode in on the backs of horses, same way the casinos rode in on the backs of horses in Philadelphia, parks in Pennsylvania. But we didn't have people that had the foresight like Pat Cummings and these types of foundations, with the Thoroughbred Foundation. We didn't have that in the 60s. And I saw racing. I was part of it in the early 70s and in the late 60s. And I was born in racing in the 50s. And I saw what it was. And it just seems like many, many years ago, and I'll be quick on this, the people that had the ability and the strength to move racing forward with these other forms of entities had this arrogant attitude that racing's here, people love it, we don't have to compete, they have to compete with us, and whatever comes to town go to the casinos, they'll come past the racetracks and it'll bring more people to the area. Well, guess what? They drove right past the Atlantic City racetrack and didn't stop. It didn't bring enough people to the track. It brought everybody to the casinos, and look, we saw Atlantic City go by the wayside. But you know what? It's great to hear someone with his foresight now and his innovative ideas to try to move racing forward. Like I said, we're playing catch up now.
And Tommy, you can speak to this, because without a doubt, in my mind, Ontario, a fascinating test tube or spotlight scenario where things were absolutely terrific. There was a symbiotic relationship throughout the province with the breeders and owners and the track, and then all of a sudden get absolutely sideswiped by the provincial government that comes and changes everything and upsets the apple cart, and now it's taken the pendulum 3, 4, 5 years to swing back to get back to a healthy scenario. And racing in a lot of ways has been a victim in some cases of these kinds of random acts by capricious government activity. I mean, what happened in Ontario was horrific.
And you know what? I think it's going to get worse. It really scares me with the new casinos and hotels and everything going up there. Living at Woodbine Racetrack, they cry, they yell that their focus is racing, but it's not. It's not. And people are scared, and rightfully scared. It looked like everything looks fine, but I see where the focus is. It's not on racing. And what Tony said about the arrogance of we can treat them how we want, somehow that arrogance is still there. Maybe rightfully so. Maybe you know, all the players are a bunch of sick dogs, and they're going to come no matter what. I won't disagree with that. And I'm not going to count on the people running racing to fix racing when they can, you know, just depend on slots. When Woodbine got the slots, they weren't in rough shape. You know, it was like the rich getting welfare or the 1% getting a tax break here. It's the same. It's the same thing. And whether we agree or disagree with Pat Cummins and his group, we need people like this to care and speak up and try to change things. I disagree with some of their things. I agree with a lot of their things. But it's a conversation we can have. And, you know, Tony coming from the backside, me from the front side, we're on the same page.
Yep.
And you know, all this smoke and mirrors about racing at Woodbine, I don't buy it. I see what their focus is. And it scares me.
Yeah, and one of the issues that got us in the position we're in, and Tony, you can certainly understand this, particularly, you know, we talk Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area, and
You're reading my mind.
New Jersey.
Mind. I know where you're going. You're reading my mind.
New York, and it's in the same vein. Had this, we had, and I don't want to paint a negative picture of, you know, of the social elite that you know basically created racing, and you know made it and heralded it at the time. But there has always been a disconnect between that level, that management and that oversight, that we're really disconnected from the gambling portion of the game, and that is solely responsible for all of these issues that have continued or grown and dogged the sport, is that disconnect. And now we've got a different disconnect because we've got corporate management in certain positions, and they're still disconnected from the better and from the wagering community. And it's certainly, you know, we wouldn't have a sport if it wasn't for people like an Amory Haskell, for instance. But everybody in New York, the Widners and the Laurelards and the Vanderbilts and the Whitneys. But when there was a necessity in the 70s to make some good business decisions that were going to be imperative for the long-term health of the industry, they were the wrong people to be asked to make those decisions, but they were in a position of authority and there was nobody else. I've had this discussion. Nehrud explained what he went through when he went to the trustees of the Greater New York Association at Hearst Jacobs, sent Nehrud in and said to them, and he said, you've got to tell them that we need, the horsemen and the organization needs to run the OTB. It's vital. And they didn't. They blew it because they didn't want to deal with the bettors. And that is so much a part of how we got to where we are. And it's Tony, I mean, you had a front row seat for this.
Right, lack of foresight and arrogance, you know, that kind of explains it. You know, you had people in authoritative positions that did nothing to enhance the fan base, the betting population. They did nothing to promote race and come up with innovative ideas. Now we have, even where I'm at right now, I mean, you know, you'll see a lot of advertisement and different things that involve the casino. We got sports betting in Pennsylvania. And, you know, horse bettors are sports bettors. But did we put a facility at Parks in the racing facility, which is quite a distance away from the casino? No, the sports betting facility is in the casino. They have no way of those racetrack, those cerebral bettors, the guys that love sports, the guys that bet on horses. They, you know, not the guys that just, or the women that go to the casino and push a button and pull a handle. You know, they're not cerebral. They just go for the slots or whatever, maybe card playing. Yeah, that's cerebral. But the sports betting facility, wouldn't you think that horse racing is a sport? And the sports betting, or some small part of the sports betting facility, should be at the horse track, but it's not. It's at the casino. You know, it just shows, you know, just what the maybe what the idea that is being put out there by the upper management or the people in the authoritative position, what they think of racing. Like, if we do nothing, maybe it'll go away, you know, or it'll be limited to a point where the casino will be thriving. You know, the return on the casino is so much better. It's easier to run. We don't need horses and horsemen groups and jockeys and all this. And, you know, if we do nothing, it's almost as good as if we do something against it, because doing nothing eventually will help it to limit it, and it'll eventually maybe not totally die out, but will die to a great extent. So doing nothing, you can't say the upper management or the people in authoritative positions are working against the sport, but doing nothing is just as good as working against it. It just takes a little more time. We're down to 3-4 days a week racing, you know, 3 days now, and we've lost days over the years. You know, the money's good. The Racehorse Development Fund has brought brought better horses to the area, but that's only what the Racehorse Development Fund has done, and that was given to us by the legislators and the horsemen's groups lobbied to get that. That wasn't anything that anybody got that upper management was hoping we got. But, you know, it's just sad to see everything is geared up to the casino and nothing to the racetrack from parks. And like I said, the casino rode in on the backs of the horses.
Tommy?
For you, and we had a question come in specifically about Woodbine, and, you know, your confidence level in you know, the people that, again, this is that same topic that are in a lot of ways the future is in their hands, and we have to, you know, we have to trust that, you know, that they're going to make decisions that are going to be, you know, good for the long-term benefit of the game.
Okay, well, you know how many times I've come on your show and I've always spoke highly of Woodbine. I love the place, but, you know, it could be just personal things that happened to me that changed my opinion. I got ridden out of a starter race by Steve Limp, the guy that went to Santa Anita. Mm. I got rid of a starter race. They're trying to get my trainer for some reason. And, you know, he tells me, your horse, why is he always running in there? When I asked him why, if they changed the
starter allowance?
If they changed the condition because of my horse, because they didn't change the 10th starter. And he goes, yeah, don't take it personal. He goes, it's bad for betting. I checked. Every time my horse ran was the highest pools because he's favorite. Why do you always run in there, he told me. Right, you know. I go, where's this coming from? So, whatever, we had it out, and I have no faith in Steve. And then at the end of the year, if you want to have faith in leadership at Woodbine, how do you have faith in a leader, and I'm talking about Jim Lawson, that when the jockey and trainers are both going to set records, the on-air personalities every day are given a rundown on the jockeys, you know, he's 3 away, he's 2 away, and not mentioning the trainer at all. Not at all. There had to be an inner memo thing, not to mention it. They couldn't have all been, you know, it was on the internet, but not one of their employees mentioned that this trainer was having a career year, something you should be promoting in your sport, and they took it upon themselves to only focus on the jockey because there's certain trainers that go cry, and rather than be a man and say, you know, just go out there and compete, he's going after Norm McKnight, a great trainer, like a brilliant friggin' horseman, and to do shit like that, to call in the newspaper to write an article about the jockey, and that guy who wrote an article on me, Steve Buffer, he comes up to me, he goes, someone just told me the trainer's one away, and I go, yeah, and he wrote a story about Norm, right? You know, it's like, how can you have leadership when you have two great things to promote? You promote one and you try to hide the other one, well, and it ended up with bad publicity, a black mark on Woodbine, and I called him a bunch of classless so-and-so's on the internet, and it started, you know, like, how do you do shit like that and want to promote this game?
There's plenty of controversy over the Norm McKnight storyline is not a simple discussion. It's a complex discussion.
Yeah, but why? Okay, good and bad, but why bring it to light? Why bring the bad to light?
Well,
basically saying, look at this, our leading trainer, we think this and this about of our leading trainer. How do you do that and try to grow your friggin' sport?
Well, the flip side of that, though, Tommy, is those that question, you know, how the McKnight win totals have been, you know, have been accrued. And you know, this.
If you have an hour, I can do a show on that. There's a debate there. And then if you want to talk about the bullshit thing he got, that they've never ever, there was never ever ever another fine for the same thing ever. Right, and this is with security on his barn, cameras everywhere, and yeah, he's got 100 horses and all the big owners, you know, coming to him, and yeah, he's gonna go shockwave a horse before time. Yeah, he's just to win one race on a 10 claimer, please try to deal with 60, 70 horses. Shit happens. The vet took the blame. You know, and here's a group that they fined the vet and they appealed the fine. Like, what are they, fucking nuts? Are they crazy? Excuse me. Sorry about that.
Well, and Tony, you know, you and I have touched on this because Philadelphia has had the same, you know, some of the same concerns and the same discussions. I mean, focusing on a couple of different barns that have accrued, you know, win totals that seem out of whack with the, you know, the history of success of the trainers in question. And, you know, this is one of these, this is a topic that just doesn't go away. And you know, the weird thing is, it's funny, you talk, whether you're talking in, up there in Ontario or in Pennsylvania has got as good a testing program as any state in the country.
And Ontario doesn't?
Ontario does, yeah. And Ontario does as
great.
Well. And so, I mean, and everybody's assumption is, oh, well, they're using things that can't be detected. Well
they're
wait
juicers.
A minute.
They're juicers.
Yeah.
That's what they call them.
Yeah, but it's a guy with a 5%. A guy with a 5% win average is complaining. Take care of your own shit. Worry about the 32 guys between you and number one.
Until you absolutely catch them doing something, then don't be trying to accuse them. You know, as soon as a guy gets 35-40%, you know, oh, he's a juicer. We had a couple guys. One of them's gone right now because they finally got rid of him. And really, what they came up with was never anything that was an illegal juicing, you know. They get rid of a guy, you know, and maybe it was a clenbuterol or something that everybody knows, and maybe it was mishandled. Who knows? Well, he's gone, I guess. We have guys that had 35-40% that they, they didn't get him doing anything with his horses, but they said, oh, it's sexual harassment. He harassed one of the girls in the office, and we got rid of him for quite a while. He finally kowtowed and eventually got back a year or so later. But, you know, catch him doing something. If you're going to catch him, then you don't leave all these questions. Well, why are you going at, you know, why are you putting out statements about that guy that maybe he's just hitting a hot spot and doing well? Or maybe he is using something. Catch him. You got testing facilities. If you have to improve them, improve them. If you can't catch him, why put a black mark on the game until you catch him? There's nothing you can do. But they find ways, like I said, the one guy got thrown out for a while, sexual harassment, which is total BS. You know, the case got thrown out of court, so it must have been BS. But, that's the kind of thing where racing actually shoots itself in the foot. And at times, you know, it's people in authoritative positions that are pulling the trigger to shoot ourselves in the foot.
Amen, Tony.
It's a shame.
Well, and it's, you know, it's complex because there's money involved, and I know that there's the outside opinion and the view that somehow the game is it's unique to the sport, when in fact. Anytime you've got money involved, there's going to be attempts to take an edge. There's going to be every trick in the book to and this goes on. This goes on Wall Street. It's not as if
it's life in general.
Pretty much anywhere. So this is we're not going to immediately solve it here. But let me get a couple of quick hits in too, because got to get to Haskin yet and to Dick Powell this before we wrap up today.
Just one thing about the sexual abuse. Norm has sexually abused me a few times, but I like it.
So ridiculous. Tommy, your thoughts, your, you know, I actually, your Pegasus thoughts were interesting. The Pegasus Betting Challenge, and you know, you mentioned that a guy like the winner, and you know, with Preston Sims, you guys all kind of came away a little shell shocked. It seemed the way guys were betting to close out the contest.
No, not me. I'm just happy, guys. No one else has won a race, a contest before the last race. I think I'm the only one, and I've done it five times. Refresh my memory.
You mean to get to win it
before the last race
and put it away.
Yeah. So as long as guys keep winning the last race, I'll give them a standing ovation and give them a 10% off.
How'd you do? How'd you do, Pegasus? I
can't remember.
How are you going to do here this week?
I'm confident. I was already on the Eros website looking for.
Stop! You're just ridiculous. Let me see what you.
I put it on Twitter.
Unbelievable.
I'm not kidding.
Let's see what you traded at. Tommy is 150-1.
Yeah, if they let me bet 4,000, I'll bet it.
What's the most? $100. I think you can
stop. Stop with this stuff.
How are you going to? How have you finished in this? I forget.
I think I got $40 once.
You prefer the live money?
Yeah. But you know what? I always hate, like, I left. I was on the beach yesterday morning. It was 75 in Florida. But I am enjoying myself. I usually hate it out here, but I am enjoying myself.
Nice.
I really am.
Nice.
I like to thank Don Grissom taking care of me here at Treasure Island.
Cool.
You have to give a shout out to him. But
good work.
I'm enjoying myself so far. Everything, got up, had some sleep, had a movement. Nothing, at our age, nothing else you can ask for. No, I'm serious.
So ridiculous.
I'm serious.
Your age. How old are you?
Mentally, 12. Physically, 74.
74?
No, 55. Mentally,
I was going to say.
Yeah, no, 50,
somewhere
74.
Between. Unbelievable.
You know, it almost came out to that.
Too funny. Your dad okay?
My dad is great. And I get the phone call. How's my millionaire son? How's it in Florida? Did the cat die yet so I can come?
Tommy Bass is unbelievable. As crazy. Tommy the Hammer, as they call him. And too much fun. Tommy, good luck this week.
Thank you, Steve. My pleasure.
He's a live wire. Tony, a couple of quick thoughts before we wrap.
Yeah, I wish I was out there with you, but I would prove one thing to all the handicappers, that jocks better stick to riding because they can't make a living gambling. They're usually terrible and they can't pick winners.
The worst handicappers, right?
Worst handicappers. But I still wish I was out there with you. We'd have some fun. You take care, and thanks for everything, Steve. You do a great job, and keep up the good work, and it's been a great show today. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Too much fun. Tony Black, everybody, and Tommy Massis. An interesting mix. We'll take a break a little past the top of the hour. We're late getting to Steve Haskin. Let's get Steve in here. We'll do some recapping from the weekend. I want to get Steve's opinions on the Holy Bull and the Withers, as well as the Bob Lewis. We'll see what Steve thought. And, of course, the Sam Davis came up Saturday. If you haven't looked at that card, I made a light reference to it. The card at Tampa, really really good. And in addition to the Sam Davis, the Sun Coast, and the rest, but we'll get Steve's opinions, see what he thinks. There's, of course, the return of K-Nix Go for Ben Colebrook, kicking off his three-year-old year. There's Cave Run, who, of course, comes out of the Pasco behind Win Win Win. And Kentucky Wildcat, a lot of people looking forward to the three-year-old debut of the Godolphin Tappet Better Lucky Colt, and he broke his maiden handsomely at Aqueduct for Tommy Albatrani. It'd be great to get Tommy back on the Derby trail. So Alive, who, of course, we discussed with Todd Bletcher just a couple of weeks ago. Bob LaPenta's Super Saver, and who else? Well Defined comes back in the spot for Kathleen O'Connell. And Stonehenge, and more. Graham Motion with Still Dreaming. Broke his maiden. New Year's Day at Laurel. Arno Delacour for Windstar. China Horse Club and SF. Five Star General coming out of the Central Park win. The Off the Turf back in November. And that's a horse. You're going to have to look back a little bit. He's been working really nicely at Tampa. Going to have to look at Five Star General. We'll see what Haskin has to say. And then Dick Powell, before we wrap up, some Hong Kong. And I should really take a look at what's been going on this morning at Maidan. That's the one thing that kind of eluded us. We broke running after almost blowing the brake. the gate didn't open. We had to bust the gate open here at the ballroom. Back after this, we're live at Treasure Island.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.